Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
By the way,
the Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best Sunny Show.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. No! Get ready for Hippo Juice.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
It's High Society Radio.
Give it up for the DP.
You're listening to Atomicast.
It's all about me.
Shy kids.
Orange Room.
More Like Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? That's 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now, here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Slightly earlier this week and for the next 2 or 3 weeks, I believe, because the clock's changed in America, so basically I have to go an hour earlier. So basically, all you listeners in America who listen live, I still go live at 4 o'clock in the Eastern Time, but all of us in the UK and... basically, where are the other places that people listen? The hour's changed. It's basically 8 o'clock now. Yeah, pretty much just gone 8 o'clock. But yes, different time for the next couple of weeks, but the same old boring shit that I talk about for 2 hours non-stop, and that's video games. No, it's going to be good stuff this week, hopefully. No, I'm just kidding. I have been... stuck on Final Fantasy, I have, unfortunately. It's good. I'm sort of got to that point where I'm not getting bored. It's just that it's tricky to sort of say where I am. I'm sort of at that point where I'm grinding everything. Because basically, I think my character's at level 36, just hit that the other day, so literally I'm 14 away from 50. I'm doing my crafting as I am. I'm doing a lot of leave quests, which are basically little missions that you can do and you get shit tons of experience points for certain things. It's like they do ones for your crafting, they do one for your gathering, your fishing and your mining, that sort of stuff, and your botany.
And basically, that's what I'm trying to do. Trying to do those as many as I can that I'm allowed to, because I think you get like three every 12 hours. And I had like was it 53 available to me the other day. So basically, I was sort of sitting here on the sofa watching cartoons and just making. What the fuck was I making? I was making like spiked knuckles and just make the same old shit again and again and again. I think it was like swords or something, and basically just turning them in to get the experience. It was like 10,000, was it 13,000 experience points for each one that I turn in. And basically, it was helping me use up a lot of all the crafting gear that I gathered over the time, and then just turning it in for experience points and a bit of money. And yeah, I just basically been doing that just to get the levels up. I mean, most of my crafting's at level 25. There's some that's still at 19 and 20, but as soon as I build up all my levels again, all my leave quests that I'm allowed to do, I literally sort of, take all them to 25, and then, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's a pain in the ass, because I want to power my way through this and get all my crafting to 50, get all my levels to 50, because I'm sort of doing bits and pieces in the story. I just want to get to the end, basically. I want to get, I mean, because I know the main hard stuff that I will be having to do is the relic weapon stuff, which is when you get to 50 and you get to a certain place in the story, you finish most of the main story and you do this and it says, okay, you can access this. And I'm trying to do that. I want to have like the best weapon. I want to be the best black mage that I can be. And, I'm selling stuff. I'm making shit tons of money. I think it was 225,000 gil. So basically just under a quarter of a million gil. But then I sort of treated myself to a best man suit. Not that I go into any in-game weddings, but it was like, the best man suit looked pretty sweet. So I thought, yeah, fuck it, just treat yourself. I've earned it. But yeah, I'm literally sort of, at the moment, I'm just sort of fishing my way through the game, doing some, crafting here and there. Yeah, just having fun with it, really. It is tons of fun still. I mean, we just got some new stuff on Heavensward, the new the new expansion, which is coming out in a couple of months, which I've got to get to. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'll talk about that later. But yeah, I am having tons of fun with Final Fantasy. I'm getting slightly bored, but it's one of those things. It's because I'm at that standstill point where I'm basically just grinding away, just doing the same old stuff, but there's, benefits to it. And I mean, my main thing at the moment is literally just sort of trying to sort out all my retainer gear, sell all the old crappy armor and bits and pieces that I don't use, or stuff that I made just to get the experience from it. I'm fishing now, I'm catching loads of stuff, hopefully try and sell that for some money. Maybe some people want to use that for crafting or whatever. But yeah, I'm having tons of fun. I mean, I'm looking forward to more events, and I mean, I actually set up my subscription, so I'm hoping that's all set up now, and I can pay that way. And it's a bit tricky because I'm like trying to find out if I subscribed or not. I've had to email some people, and I don't know. It's a bit not arduous, but it's just a bit annoying when it just doesn't work out really. But hopefully I'm all set up and subscribed, because I don't really want to, turn my game on one day and it says, okay, you haven't subscribed. And I'm like, well, you've got my card details, you've got this, you've got that, you've got, pretty much everything that you need from me. But yeah, having tons of fun with that. I mean, we've got the live event in about, 6 weeks away from now, pretty much. So it's coming around quick. And that's going to be downtown Lakeland in Florida, basically April 25th of April. About 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, it will start. Preservation Hall. You come out, people. It's going to be tons of fun. Lots of sexy girls. Other bits and pieces, which will be decided further in the sooner enough. Pretty much, hopefully. But yeah, I say it's going to be a great night. Come and see all of us. I mean, I'm flying out again as I usually do. It's going to be good. So basically, get your asses out there. As I say to everyone, if I can get myself there, so can you, basically. So there's no worry. Anyone who wants to contact the show, you want to Skype in, whatever, you can Skype in. It's Antisocial Game Radio. It's all one word on Skype. You want to email the show, email me. I love reading your emails. Antisocial Gamer Radio at yahoo.co.uk. If you want to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Also, you can like the show on Facebook. It's facebook.com/AntisocialGamerRadio. And also, you can follow us on Twitter at MLRGamerRadio. And don't forget as well, follow the station at More Light Radio. Go on Facebook, look at More Light Radio, like the page. Yeah, do us all a favour. But yeah, I say I haven't done much gaming. I have been playing Final Fantasy like non-stop, as I was on my holiday. Up early in the morning, even though I've got work, I'm like, you know, up for an hour. Okay, let's do a bit of this, a bit of that, just to finish this off. I mean, I know I talked about it earlier, a few seconds ago, but I have been sort of trying to get my rank up of my guild, my grand company, which I've done. I got past the first set of ranks. I'm now first sergeant. It's one of those stupid things, but it's basically you need to sort of. I've been working on my hunting logs. Basically, you need to have all the hunting logs done for your first section. So I'd done that, and then I had all the amount of leaves, the guild seals that I needed to upgrade it. So I've done that, and I'm now working on other stuff. And yeah, I say it's pretty much a grind at where I am in the game. I'm sort of okay. Well, I need to keep grinding fates, get as many guild seals as possible, so that way I can eventually just keep leveling up and leveling up and leveling up. And then, you know, as I level up my character, I can fight all these monsters that I need to fight in each area. Okay, get the experience from that. Level up, level up, level up. And it's just one big constant grind of trying to keep it all going and, you know, grind out as many as I want. I mean, we've still got, like, this out of the Grand Company stuff that you have access to, there's five sections where you can get armor and weapons and other bits of materials and stuff, and they've only unlocked three at the moment, so there's still two more to go. So basically we wait and see when the other two get unlocked. So basically I want to have, you know, fully unlocked the three that we do have, and then have maximum seals in my bank, so basically when we do get the new ranks and stuff, I can sort of go, yep, put the seals into this, and upgrade. And I mean, you know, I think those two are probably going to be unlocked when we get the expansion, but the expansion's months away, and I've still got... Well, I mean, I think I'm doing quite well, to be honest. I know I've literally been talking about Final Fantasy non-stop for the past couple of weeks, but yeah, it's what I'm playing and what I'm really enjoying. I'm interested in other stuff. I'm tempted to get the Devil May Cry Definitive Edition, the new super special edition for Devil May Cry that's come out on the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox. I'm tempted to pick up that. I do want to get, I think because I looked up before the show, I want to get Outrun and the 3DS Outrun and 3D Afterburner 2 on my 3DS, because I'm going to use them when I go traveling to sort of play some stuff, because Pokemon's not getting any looking from me, because there's nothing really to do with it until, you know, basically Nationals, which is, that's about 2 months away as well. That's like, you know, the end of May, so that's far away. But yeah, I want to sort of, you know, max out all my bits and pieces when it comes to Final Fantasy, do the story stuff, get through. I mean, I say I've only been playing for like a month now, and I'm at level 36. I've got 200,000 gil and a whole bunch of stuff. My crafting's pretty well, going pretty well. I'm doing as many quests and leaves and stuff as I can get access to. And yeah, basically it's one of those things. I mean, I know pretty much a year from now, I probably going to have everything done in the game that I want to do. I mean, I do want to sort of try and work on some of the other character classes, like Pugilist, and, you know, get them all up to 30, get the job quests, that sort of stuff. But, I mean, stuff like, they, you know, there's like jobs that you can be in the game, sort of like tanks and healers and stuff. That's not me. I mean, I'll do the guild leaves and stuff to get experience points from those other jobs. But, I mean, stuff like probably... monk, the DPS stuff. That's me. I believe, you know, I'm, you know, I want to deal damage. I you know, basically, as long as I can just sort of push a button and just attack stuff, that's good, because I just sort of feel limited on the PlayStation 4, but not in a bad way, but in a good way, because I'm lazy when it comes to this shit. I like to do as little work as possible and get rewarded for it. And when I do dungeons and stuff, I mean, I've just unlocked this new dungeon because I got to level 35. It's a sunken temple of Quorn, I think. I just want to do damage and shit. I've got no interest in trying to heal people. That's other people's jobs who've got, you know, keyboard and mouses and, you know, better hand coordination and skills, and, you know, that's just not what I do. But yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff I want to get. I want to sort of fill out my 3DS library. I want to get that 3D Outrun and 3D Afterburner 2 from the 3DS store. I'm thinking about getting that Fantasy Life, getting that a go. I did look up. Because I was trying to get into Yu-Gi-Oh a little while ago, a few months ago. And I'm like, well, should I pick up the game and have a look? Tempted to, but not because the price is quite expensive on Amazon. So, wait and see. But I mean, you know, there's tons of stuff coming out. I mean. Literally, I mean, I know it's like the 10th of March now, and in a month from now we get Mortal Kombat X, which I am looking forward to because I want to get my Mortal Kombat on. I mean, I've still got Dying Light to pick up eventually. Battlefield that's coming out soon. I think this week or next week, sometime very soon. Anyway, that's coming out, so that'll be definitely for me to pick up when I get paid. And yeah, it's just so much stuff coming out. But, you know, I say, because even though I am getting, you know, playing tons of Final Fantasy, where I am, it's like I don't need to be playing it all the time. I am sort of walking around playing it, and I'm like, I should be playing something else. So basically, I'm that point where I can sort of play other games just to get my fulfillment from something else and not just stuck here fishing or, you know, mining for hours on end for stuff, basically. But no, I say, you know, just not getting bored, totally bored out of it, but still enjoying it. So we'll move on, really. There's no real topic this week because I really couldn't think of anything, to be honest. But I mean, I did find one of these top seven lists that I get occasionally from Games Radar. And this one was actually quite good because I think I've done one or two of these. Basically, it was the top seven side missions that are better than the main game. A seven list of side stories, basically. And some of them, actually, some side stories I've played in certain games are actually more fun. I mean, I'm thinking now to, I don't think it's on this list anyway, but I mean, like, I think it was Final Fantasy VIII. Yeah, I think it was Final Fantasy VIII where you had to, I think it was like you wake up on, I think at the end of the beginning of the second disc, where you are Laguna, I think the guy with the long hair, and basically he's got to go through town, fight monsters, and that was quite fun. It was like a look into, you know, his past and stuff when you were in his dream sequences. Yeah, let's just have a look at the first one. Just make sure I call up the right one first. Number seven. Mass Effect 3, the Citadel DLC. Lots of folks complained that the ending of Mass Effect 3 was too impersonal, that it boiled three games worth of choices and relationships down to a handful of color-coded options. Yeah, basically red, blue, or green. Whether you feel that way or not, you definitely can't say that same about Mass Effect 3's Citadel DLC, which adds a fairly involved side story concerning a plot to assassinate Commander Shepard. Fortunately, Shepard's made a bunch of friends along the way, and they were quite happy to help him deal with these would-be killers. That's not the real point of the side quest, though. The point is that you get to throw a massive party at the end and invite everyone who ever fought alongside and hasn't been blown up or shot by collectors, killed by Cerberus. It's cheesy, sappy, and fan-servicey, but it's exactly what you need to break up Mass Effect's apocalyptic despair. Plus, you have a one-night stand with Vega and let him cook you breakfast in the morning. Turns out he's good for something other than cooking up, coming up with shitty nicknames. I don't even remember doing this one. I did like Mass Effect 3. I mean, it wasn't as good as, say, 1 and 2. But yeah, I mean, I don't remember the big party. I mean, did I unlock that mission? I was saying, because the thing with the Mass Effect games, you can play it so many different ways. There's so much stuff you can unlock and not see in other games, and that's what I mean. I did like several playthroughs, but yeah, I mean, I miss Mass Effect. I need Mass Effect 4. Give me fucking Mass Effect 4. I'm going to keep saying that for now and forever until we get it. But hold on, hopefully roll on. I say I'm hoping that we'll get some knowledge of Mass Effect 4 at E3 this year, and then hopefully it comes out sometime spring next year. So basically, hopefully this time next year, we can have Mass Effect 4. Hopefully. Number six, World of Warcraft. Tyrion and Talon Fodring. Sounds like a sexual device. World of Warcraft is full of stories. Literally, the game has about a bazillion quests. Even if most aren't much more than interesting... Christ, what the hell's wrong with me? Even if most aren't much more interesting than bring 10 Murloc heads. I'm doing that a lot in Final Fantasy. I'm skipping a whole load of cutscenes and stuff because it's mostly just go here, go there, go here, go here, go here. And I mean, slight problem. I mean, with Destiny, you can look up all the information on the races and that sort of stuff, but I didn't bother. If I miss anything out on this, I'm probably going to look it up because I'm not that fussed. I mean, I want to fight. I want to do dungeons. I want to do primals. But yeah, but I'll get back into this. I'm talking about too much Final Fantasy again. But there were some seriously open-eyed events hidden in the huge pile of narrative. And my favourite is the sad tale of Tyrion and Talon Fodring. For tragic reasons, those are kind of a theme with this guy that I won't get into here. Tyrion is banished from his home and family in Heathglen. He stays nearby to watch his son Talon, who thinks Tyrion's dead, grow up and follow in his footsteps as a paladin. Unfortunately, without his dear old dad to show him the ways of the world, Talon joins the religious zealots of the Scarlet Crusade. That's where you come in. By collecting artifacts of Talon's childhood, you can convince him that his father lives, allowing him to abandon the crusade and reunite with his long lost pappy. Excited seeing this to the end with a tearsome reunion between father and son. Which says, well, you're half right, but I'm not too sure because I don't play World of Warcraft, mainly because the graphics are terrible. Here we go. Yes, this definitely. Fallout 3 was number 5 with a Tenpenny Tower. It's just actually really good. It's one of those things why you'd choose it. I mean, I'll go into this and then, you know, I'll talk about it. Yeah, there are so many different angles to consider about Tenpenny Tower that I'm still amazed it's entirely optional. Just make sure you look for the tall, oddly well-preserved skyscraper standing a few miles west of the ruins of Washington, D.C. Yeah, that's what got me about that whole thing with Tenpenny Tower. It's the only skyscraper still standing amongst all the desolation and ruin. I'm sure it's the best thing about Tenpenny Tower is actually looking at it than rather than being inside it, because inside it's a shithole. Tenpenny Tower spins a subversive story of haves and have-nots in the nuclear apocalypse, which makes the campaign to restore Project Purity seem one-dimensional. Unlike almost everything else, you go into the capital wasteland. The tower is pristinely maintained and reassuringly secure. That's because the only lets a select number of rich residents stay, even though there's enough clean water and electricity to house dozens more. A group of ghouls would like to see that policy change, and helping them talk their way into the tower seems like obvious goody two shoes thing to do. Until you come back a few days later, at which point you'll find all the human residents gone. The ghoul leader mentions a disagreement, and oh yeah, don't worry about the rotten smell coming from the basement. Yeah, I love that. I mean, I did this because, I mean, there's so many different ways to do a Tenpenny Tower. I mean, because, you know, I mean, I was at the top and I killed Tenpenny himself, and he got there to blow up Megaton? I can't remember. I haven't played Fallout in years. But yeah, I did that, and I was like, okay, I fucked up. I remember playing this. I'm like, all right, what have I done? And it was really funny and cruel and sick. That's what I love about Fallout. It's literally, you can be twisted and cruel, or you could be the hero. And yeah, I had so much fun. And yeah, I mean, Fallout was awesome. Can we get Fallout 4, please? Can we have it now? I don't want Fallout Las Vegas. That was fucking shit. But yeah, I say tons of fun with this game. And Tenpenny Tower was one of the best places to go. I mean, I remember watching in the videos when we came out, they said, yes, we're getting Fallout 4, and it was like, Fallout 3, and there was a video of, like, you sneaking up on some guy who was trying to buzz on the intercom, and then basically just sort of sneak up behind him, put a grenade in his pocket, and then walk away, and then watch as he blows up, and then you can get in, and, so much fun. Number 4, Batman Arkham City, the Riddler trophies. The Riddler's always been a bit of a second-rate Batman villain. Unlike the Joker, the Penguin, and other stars of the Evil Menagerie, or the Rogues Gallery, he's more preoccupied with prowling, but he's smarter than Batman. No, he's not. Taking over Gotham, and his endless schemes endanger some civilians here and there, but old Edward Nygma is usually as much of a threat to himself as to anybody else. His talents finally get a fitting spotlight in Batman Arkham City. where players can spend the entire game searching for hundreds of tropes. To be honest, we did that in Arkham Asylum and Arkham Origins. He said in various nooks, crannies, death traps, and probably Arkham Knight as well. You may think Arkham City is about taking down Doctor Strange's nefarious schemes for the city, but it's actually about collecting Riddler trophies. And when you finally get them all, you get back to track down the Riddler and subject him to one of his own sadistic schemes before taking him out. I think I did this in both Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. I didn't bother in Arkham Origins. But it was like, okay, I've done this before, and I just really couldn't be asked, because half the time I couldn't remember how to do half the moves anyway, and I was just sort of trying to get the game done to finish it. But so yeah, it was a really good game, and probably one of the games with the best intros I've ever seen. I say the Riddler trophy is really fun to do when I could be bothered, but before then, but after then, it's like, yeah, you do them all, it's the same shit. Number three, Persona 4, Social Links. If you try to play Persona 4 like an old-school JRPG, charging into a dungeon at every opportunity, grinding up your stats, collecting all the personas, you'll probably have a pretty awful time. It's all pretty perfectly competent, but there's just isn't enough to unravel the mystery behind the Midnight Channel to keep you coming back for dozens of hours. What will really keep you playing are the social links. You're going out for steak skewers or attending basketball practice, doing some sort of does come with a sort of XP system and some video gamey rewards, but that's not what makes social links fun. There's a surprisingly poignant metaphor. It's up to you to spend a little less time than you have in life. I have no idea what this is. I've never played a Persona game in my life. I know there's a big fandom for them, and they will love them. I just never got around to playing them, basically. And you're going to get out what you put in. So the next dungeon slide for a little while. I'll be there when you're ready for it. But until then, while away some afternoons hanging out with Yusuke and the gang. I guess that means something to someone. I've never played Persona. It's one of those things I'd like to play, but I just never found it interesting enough to bother, really. Number two, Skyrim, The Dark Brotherhood. The main quest is fine if you're looking at prodding at dragon corpses, there you are, my dyslexia's kicking in, and getting wrapped up in the fictional policies of fantasy Swedes. Yeah, that sounds very Americanish. But it can still hold a candle to all the other crap you can do in that game, particularly the crowning non-crucial part that culminates in the assassination of the Emperor. This is the real Emperor of Tamriel, though you do mistakenly kill his double first. Not some podunk twerp who will be written off from the canon either way, but you've got to join the Dark Brotherhood if you want to do that deed. Rising through the ranks of the Brotherhood starts with taking a contract from a little boy to kill his cantankerous orphanage headmistress, which was fun as hell. That really was, especially if your sneak skill's really high, like mine was, because I was playing as Khajiit. And it only gets more twisted from here. You aren't joining an old order of assassins. The Dark Brotherhood has some seriously freaky stuff going on, of which you'll be well aware by the time you spend a night in a sarcophagus next to a shriveled telepathic corpse. You've got to do what you've got to do if you fancy some regicide. Doing the Dark Brotherhood stuff was one of the best things you do in any Elder Scrolls game. I mean, the story for the Dark Brotherhood in Skyrim was really awesome. You could become a vampire with them, and just going through the story. I mean, even with Oblivion, the Dark Brotherhood stuff was really, really fun too. And it was just, really good stuff to do. I mean, I love playing Skyrim and Fallout and, the Dark Brotherhood stuff, tons and tons of fun. Number one is from Zelda Majora's Mask. It's Kefi and Anju. The Majora's Mask is unlike any other Zelda game, particularly because its main campaign is a bit more compact, basically, yeah. While Ocarina of Time has 8 huge dungeons between you and the credit screen, Majora's Mask is only 4, but if you take the time to explore Terminia and help out its many residents, this quest feels no less grand, yet immensely more intimate. After all, you could help help a couple face the end of the world together in Ocarina of Time. The process of reuniting Kefi and Andrew is long and involved, requiring keen observation at multiple trips through the 3-day cycle. Once you finally bring the young lovers back together, you're reminded that this is just a side quest, and the Mad Moon is still going to destroy everything. There's no grand redemption, though. The power of love, even if it's... Oh, fuck off, I'm not reaching that. Bloody Huey Lewis. Just the comfort of gazing into the oblivion side by side. You want to shout at them to keep fighting, but it's midnight on the final day and there's nothing more to do but wait. It's sad, happy, frustrating, satisfying, and a compelling conclusion to 1,000 dead Ganons. I never... That's the thing. I would have done this one, but I never got that far with fucking... with Majora's Mask. I think I did one or two bosses and then just stopped. But yeah, I mean, there's so many different good side missions that I've played. I mean, I'm thinking about the Hitman games. I mean, it's not really side mission stuff that you do, but there's like other bits and pieces that you get to do to help with the main mission, you know, by, you know, interacting with this person to do that thing, to get that person. And, you know, I'd say that was interesting, but I mean... Just trying to think of so many different games that I've played that have better side missions than the main game. I mean, say, most of the Mass Effect stuff, I mean, some interesting things you do. I mean, that's the thing. That's what I like. That's, I mean, as I say now, with stuff like Final Fantasy and all these big, long games that have a big, long narrative, it's like the side missions are great because they break you away from the basically the main monotony of what you're doing. It's a bit of branching out. I mean, I'm thinking, I know I've mentioned this several times, but I did like the actual mission from Red Dead Redemption where you had to pick those flowers for that guy's wife, and then basically you find out that she's dead already and the guy's gone slightly mad. I love that mission. It was very sweet and very crazy, and it was very funny. But yeah, I say it was a really fun mission to do. It was even when you find out the truth. But yes, I mean stuff. Even the stuff you did in Red Dead Redemption, like the hunting stuff, very fun. It's just something that basically takes you away from the main game, but keeps you involved with the world. But that's what I like. That's what I want stuff. That's what I want stuff to do. I want games to take me away from the main narrative, if the world is really fun and enjoyable. That's what I like with Final Fantasy XIV. We have the Gold Saucer. We can do some Chocobo Racing, which I haven't bothered yet. Triple Triad, which I haven't bothered yet. I mean, I went back to the Gold Saucer yesterday to do a little screenshot, but. Yep, that was in my best man suit. But yeah, I mean, there's so many different games out there where they've had more fun with the main stuff, with the side stories and the main stuff. But, you know, because after a while, even the main quests, they do get monotonous and boring, basically. What we got next? Let's do to a news story. Okay, let's try and find something decent. Here we go. This is something I saw for a while ago that's been sort of, you know, bugging me, basically. Modern News broken promise to Curiosity winner honoured by developer. Brian Henderson is now a god in Not a Hero. Earlier, this has come out like about a month ago. Earlier this week, this is from Eurogamer as well. They detailed a story about Brian Henderson, a 20-year-old man who won Peter Molyneux's iOS app Curiosity. He was promised... to be the god of the studio's next game, Goddess, and received a portion of its revenue. Instead, all he got was a stupid T-shirt. Wow, what a fucking pain in the ass that was. Yet, Molyneux failed, or at least indefinitely delayed promise, has been instead honoured by the Hotline Miami publisher, Devolver Digital, in its upcoming 2D action platformer, Not a Hero. Yeah, basically, he says, we had been keeping up with the story for a while, and Wes's story was certainly part of it. Devolver's Nigel Laurie explained to Eurogamer. He says, we just kept seeing stuff on social media, and it made us feel worse and worse for Brian, so we reached out to him in Twitter and talked about the idea that we had with Roll 7. It came together in a few hours, developed by... What the fuck is that? Oi Oi Studio? It's one of those O-L-L-I twice things. Not a Hero was described by Martin Robinson as a 2D Vanquish, and it's every bit as good as it sounds. As such, it's probably better than Goddess, which Chris Donlan described in his impressions as a God game that when I play it makes me feel like I'm even less significant than I am already am than I already am in the real world. Henderson will now be a playable character at least. At least not at launch. Larry explained to Polygon, the world of Not a Hero is godless place. That much is certain, but the next thing is Bunny Lord and... what the fuck is this? Anamorphic rabbits from the future running for mayor. That sounds weird. Larry said, Roll 7 is going to put Brian in the sort of employee lounge when Bunny Lord slashes his heroes. Henchman as NPC, though it's not exactly becoming a god, but it's the best thing we could do. So how does Henderson feel about this? Always the understated chap. He said, well, this is pretty cool. I'm up for this. So that's cool. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you think when they design these sort of quest competitions and stuff, do you actually fulfill what they actually said they would? Otherwise, what's the point of having these competitions? But Molyneux is, you know, they've basically going ahead with it. I don't know. I feel good for the guy because he got what he deserved. You know, he's put in the games now. But it's like, I don't know, it's bad. I mean, half the things with these games these days, I brought this up before. I mean, the Kickstarter stuff, half that does good and half that does bad. Like, it doesn't fall through, or I mean, there was a game I think I talked about last week. It was like, or I've got a news article about it anyway. It was like for the three, what the fuck was it? It's like three days it made all the money that it wanted to from Kickstarter. Whereas you've got other games, some games that are basically saying, yeah, give us money to make this, and the games aren't appearing, and people are running off with the money. It's just something that happens. It's not the greatest thing in the world, it's not the best. But I mean, you think something like a simple competition to make a character, a real life person, into a game as a game character. How hard is that, really? You know, all these NPCs and stuff, which, I mean, they did it, so that's good, but it looks bad on developers' part that it took so long. Don't buy Darkest Dungeon from with the Windows Store, Dev warns. It's basically, sorry, I'll go for the original story. It says the developer of Darkest Dungeon, because there's been updates to this, has issued a warning about the illegal version of the Steam hit currently available to buy on the Windows Game Store. Red Hook Studios co-president and Darkest Dungeon developer designer Tyler Sigmund tweeted about the availability of a Windows 8.1 app version of his game, calling on his followers for the contact details of someone at Microsoft who may be able to have it removed. Sigmund said the person who published Darkest Dungeon on the Windows Game Store was scamming the game by selling it legally. Yeah, basically, there was a number of warning signs on Darkest Dungeon's Windows Game Store page. One, it cost £2.59. Darkest Dungeon costs £15 on Steam. Two, it's a 2 megabyte download, suggesting it could become some sort of spyware. Three, the game's description is written in broken English. Foreigners have got it and basically tried to upload it. Darkest Dungeon is a strategy gameplay. What the hell? Darkest Dungeon is a strategy game. Player will employ, train, and... is this the broken English that I'm reading? Control a team of heroes in Darkest Dungeon game. The journey will... they will journey through warrens, twisted forests, crypts, and other straggling places, and they will be confronted by monstrous creatures, which are unimaginable. What with these, there comes calamities like stress, disease, and famine. And four, yeah, I guess that must be the broken English, because I had trouble reading it, and my reading and talking is terrible at the same time. And four, the game is published by someone called Balaji Chowdhury. Not Red Hawk Studios, though this does not appear to be the first game Mr. Chowdhury has published to the Windows Game Store illegally. He is listed as the publisher of... this makes me laugh, right? Publisher of Lego Batman 3, Beyond Gotham, Watchmen, The End Is Nigh, and VMware Player. If the guy has been doing this before several times... why the fuck did they get away with it after the first time? Now, big games like, you know, Lego Batman 3, Watchmen Ends Nigh, I don't think it was any good. But you must have fucking seen it, that it's not... I don't... What the hell is going on at certification people? You know, someone's got to lost their job for this being so stupid. And it's not the first time he's done it. And it's first time, yeah, maybe it's sort of left slip through, but it was, you know... Oh, God, these people. But the icing on the cake is the image of Darkest Dungeon Chowdhury has uploaded to the Windows Game Store to illustrate the page. On the bottom right corner, you can't see the Windows message. On the bottom right hand corner, you can't see. You can see the active Windows message. Despite the warning signs on Darkest Dungeon's window game store page, some may be duped, and Sigmund hopes to have it removed sooner rather than later. But yeah, I say there's been updates to this. Let's read them. Two updates. I'll just make sure I read them in the right order. Basically, Red Hook Studios are continuing to fight this tooth and nail. Developer says Microsoft has been receptive to the matter and is going its best to resolve it. Basically, quote here says, following our discovery of the scam yesterday, several individuals from Microsoft have reached out to us. Red Hook's Chris Borosa told Eurogamer. He said, we submitted a complaint and are optimistic that resolution is coming soon. There's been no indication of what the file contains and this scam version actually are. And we are currently hoping that nothing malignant in the download. Obviously, this kind of thing is unfortunate for developers and storefronts and gamers alike. We've called attention to the scam on Twitter and want to remind anyone purchasing the game to do so through Steam or Humble. But yeah, I say there was an update. So basically, the counterfeit version of Darkest Dungeon has been removed from a Windows Store. Basically, this Microsoft response. It says, we are aware of recent claims of scam or unauthorized version of certain games being sold in a Windows Store. We take claims of intellectual property infringement seriously. Of course, you get sued otherwise. And review them in accordance with our standard procedures. We also continue to review the content of our store periodically as described in our recent blog post as we work to deliver a great consumer experience and provide fair and transparent developer policies and enforcement. I mean, that's nice and all. It's all the red tape and all the dotted I's and crossed T's and all that bullshit. But it's like, hey, the guy who did it, who stole it and then published it as his own, he's done it several times and you still didn't fucking notice, or you didn't put like a red flag or blacklist him, or... You know, come on, bloody hell, Microsoft, for fuck's sake. It just makes me feel bad for you, but that, you know, fucking up so embarrassingly. Here we go, something nice. I mean, I'd say I'm waiting for this to all come out before I play it, but say, Life is Strange dev promises second episode in March, following a report of delay. Yeah, Life is Strange developer... has committed to launching the entire... launching the adventure series second episode during March. The confirmation comes after a destructoid report that the game has been delayed. Dontnod has promised that the second episode will arrive at some point before the end of next month, which is now, really. But this could still count as a small delay. The developer previously promised that each episode will launch at 6-week intervals. Excuse me. So basically, I'm at 3 months, 3-4 months now, I'll get every episode. So I'll play it all then. And, you know, got the bug fixes and that sort of stuff done. Life is Strange's first episode arrived on 30th of January, suggesting a launch around the 13th of March, so basically end of this week, for part two. Dear friends of Life is Strange, publisher Square Enix added in a statement past the Eurogamer, we've been asked to clear up the question of when episode two will be released, since there has been rumours of a delay. We'd like to assume everyone that developer is on track. Development is on track, and we're looking to release it before the end of March. Yeah, I really want this game, but it worries me when we get delays like this and how things are made. I mean, if they're still putting the finishing touches to this game, or I don't know. I mean, how long does it take to make? Because I mean, the graphics in this game were amazing. I mean, I played the trial version and I'm like, yep, all the stuff you can interact with, the voice acting, the graphics of how it looks, how animated it is, a lot of work goes into this game. I mean, you're delaying it. I mean, Are you making it bit by bit, or is it? Does each episode take six weeks to make? Because that's quite short for a game as amazing as it looks and as well as it plays. I mean, there's people I know, you know, who are playing this and love this game. Thanks all for the support. We love reading all your feedback and comments as a show of gratitude and something to enjoy before the game is available. Here's a piece of concept art for blah 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 blah. Episode 2 out of time. Scroll down the page. Yeah, this is an atmospheric teen adventure where set in the Pacific Northwest. Life is Strange mixes college drama with sci-fi shenanigans and neat time rewinding gameplay mechanic. Yeah, it is a fun game, and I want to play it, but I want all the episodes. I don't really want to wait for week after week. I mean, this is when I did the Walking Dead game season, season. You know, I didn't wait till it was. I didn't play it individually. I waited; it was all out, and it came on sale. The first episode was free, so basically, I sort of bought all the other episodes when they were on sale. But yeah, I say it's fun. It's a fun game, and I want it all out before I even bother playing it. But let's find some more stuff. Okie dokie. Here we go. Yeah, this is for Destiny, which makes me want to give it a go. But again, as basically I've got nothing else to play to be honest, apart from Final Fantasy. Looks like Destiny is getting a new social space. Social space. Well, one sec. I need a drink. Yeah, they're getting a new social space. Oh, for fuck's sake. Hang on. Social space, there we go, in the Reef. More House of Wolves expansion 2 leaks as well. Destiny will gain a new social area in its upcoming House of Wolves expansion, according to a fresh set of leaked screenshots. The new hub will be set within the mysterious Reef location and will presumably act as another space for players to gather, in addition to the game's main tower. A map setting for the location can be seen in screenshots posted by Reddit. By Mega Man X4, the same user who previously spilled the details of House of Wolves missions and guns. But it's not the first time we spotted mention of a non-combat area in the Reef. Bungie showed a brief second of footage from the area during a developer diary released back in February in 2013. But the studio has since remained silent on the concept. On the content, and it failed to appear in the final. House of Wolves is Destiny's second expansion, which is due to focus on the Reef and the ruler of the Queen. A new raid is also expected to be set in the remote location. It will be a player's first proper visit to the region outside of cutscenes. Yeah, I mean that was what pissed me a lot off. Me and a lot of other people off is the fact that we got a new area, but there was nowhere to go, and it looked really nice as well. Other new screenshots show off new Inferno playlist for Destiny's multiplayer mode, which disable level advantages, which is, isn't that the same as, what the hell was it? The sort of hardcore mode, it was Iron Banner, yeah, isn't that the same as that? Two new single player missions have also been spotted, a level 30 quest entitled Nightcrawler, and a new level 28 strike called Belly of the Beast, both are set on the moon. A fallen warship holding an infamous walker has touched down in the Ocean of Storms. A new strike's description reads, breach the catch and see to the walker's end. Rewarded included an unknown armor upgrade as well as XP. Bungie has yet to release a date for the House of Wolves, but previously leaked points to expansion content, unlocking on the 19th of May, 2 months later than Bungie originally planned. It's coming out. I mean, people are still playing Destiny or playing Destiny. They can wait a bit longer. I mean, fuck, we've only just got the heists from Grand Theft Auto 4. And it's 4 or 5? I don't know. Fuck knows. Grand Theft Auto 5. And it's like, how long have we been waiting this? A year and a half for these heists, these online modes. And people are still playing it, just imagine, right? I'm talking about Grand Theft Auto 5 now. Imagine how long they'd had to wait for Rockstar to make this and put it into the game. How long the game would have been delayed. Oh, that's seriously bad on their point. Okay, where was the... I wanted to do it because of the show. I know I'm coming up on a break, so I wanted to talk about... buggering ass. Maybe I'll do that after the break. Here we go. Yeah, I'll do it after the break. Get some of this stuff out of the way first. Here's a look at Cliff Bleszinski's new game, Project Blue Streak is what it's called. Gears of War. Basically, there's a new arena for this basically first person shooter arena based thing that he said he wanted to make. But this is off Eurogamer. Yeah, developed by Bleszinski's new studio, Boss Key Productions. Blue Streak will be a free to play shooter published by Nexon. Based on the early pre-alpha footage, it appears to have futuristic samurais and assault rifles. As you may have noticed by its ending logo, Blue Streak is being developed with Unreal Engine 4. We consider several options regarding the what technology we use to build Project Blue Streak. Ultimately, we found ourselves coming full circle to my friends at Epic Games and the elegant solution for rapid and quality game development that is Unreal Engine 4, Bleszinski stated. We look forward to making a top tier product through this partnership. Yeah, it's not really a partnership, it's like, yeah, they're your old bosses and they like you so much because you made them shitloads of money from Gears of War and the Unreal Tournament series, so basically here's the Unreal Engine 4. Bleszinski previously stated that Blue Streak will have a fleshed out lore, weapons will have manufacturing corporations, players will have lore, history, and the world will feel there and lived in. He said in a Reddit AMA last summer. We also want to make live action shorts, quality quarterly, to help people to tell more about the universe outside of the game. If you're doing a sci-fi IP, you need as much fiction to come through in other mediums and with lore, so people care about the plasma rifle 3 or player X. I agree with that. To be honest, I mean, you look how with games like I can't even think. I don't even know what the hell's the game's called, but they made a TV series out. It's on the Sci-Fi Channel. Someone will tell me. I can't think. I've never seen anyone even watch the show. I never even played the game. I don't think there's anyone's been playing the game still. But yeah, I mean, you need to make sure. I mean, it's looking very. It's sounding from the whole making shorts to inform the characters about people about the characters and stuff. It seems very. I can't even think of this game now. Crap, it's got like the soldier and Team Fortress, there we go. Yeah, it seems very Team Fortress like. They're basically building your whole world and here's some shorts about the characters, which are actually quite funny. I watched a load of those Team Fortress videos. They're really, really funny. Let's move on to something else. Here we go. Yes, I don't know if many people play this. I mean, I played a little bit, but Clay Fighter. Interplay says it's remastering Clay Fighter. I mean, many years ago, watching Games Master, and they'd have, fights with Clay Fighter. Interplay has announced plans to remaster light-hearted 90s fighting game Clay Fighter. We could, fight a Santa Claus, that was cool. In a press release, the company said it was working with Drip Drop Games to remaster all the previous Clay Fighter games and release them as a collection. Digging into detail, Interplay said the new gameplay mechanics would be introduced, such as double jump, air dashing, counters, and reversals, with unique supers and clayitality for each character. So basically, it's becoming Mortal Kombat for Clay Fighters. Elsewhere, we're promised remastered audio and high resolution visuals. The remastered Clay Fighter is due out on PC in 2016. It's a surprise announcement for the company that has gone dark in recent months. So the much to the annoyance of customers who also bought its games. I love Clay Fighters. That was great. The Interplay of today is not the Interplay of the last. The Los Angeles, California-based firm seems to have do little more than smallizing operations for its portfolio of its franchises that include Battle Chess, Dark Alliance, Descent, Dragon Wars, Alpha Gym, Free Space, Giants, Messiah, MDK, Run Like Hell. I wish I'd played Run Like Hell. Sacrifice, Stonekeep, and Toonstruck. Back in December of 2014, Interplay broke months of silence with an announcement of a Kickstarter for a board game based on Free Space video games franchise. Free Space Tactic was supposed to be a new tabletop game based on the science fiction space combat series that did well with Interplay in the 90s. The Tactics Kickstarter asked for $75,000. Funding for the project was cancelled on the 8th of January 2015 after just $16,000 was raised. In June 2014, it announced the launch of Free Space 2 on Steam. A month earlier, it was the launch of Descent. Free Space on Steam, and before that, in April, it was Descent 3. Interplay released Battle Chess, Game of Kings, and as an early access title in March, and players have complained about the lack of updates ever since. A 2012 revival of Black Isle, Interplay's defunct in-house game developer, failed to go anywhere. At the time, it asked for funding for a game called Project V13 that Interplay called the Fallout Online MMO. It was working on before the rights to the name reverted back to Bethesda in a lawsuit, and nothing came of it. Interplay was founded in 1983 by Brian Fargo, who now runs Wasteland 2 developer In Exile Entertainment. Throughout the 80s and 90s, Interplay enjoyed huge success off the back of the Fallout, Planetscape, Torment, and Baldur's Gate series. But the company went bankrupt in 2006 and sold off much of its intellectual property. French entrepreneur Hervé Kane, alongside his brother Eric, I love that, his brother Eric, brought Interplay in 99, remains CEO. So will this remastered Clay Fighter actually come out? We've never heard of Drip Drop Games, and can't see why it's made. Can't see it's made any games before. Perhaps related to Drip Drop Studios, which seems to have worked in a 2011 Civilization style game for mobile devices, but nothing since. So basically, we might get this, we might not. Don't hold your breath. We'll see what happens. And I mean, if it does happen, then great. But I mean, I was actually questioning when I was reading this article. I'm like, well, okay, it's coming out on PC. What about maybe like a mobile app or, you know, something like that? But I mean, trust, I'm reading this now, and we'll probably never hear any of this again. So basically, which is bad, to be honest. I'd like a Clay Fighter. I mean, I'll have to go now and watch, try and look up old episodes of Games Master on YouTube. And yeah, but I say it's a pain. It really is. Yeah, Mortal Kombat 10 story trailer reveals Daughter of Jax and Descendant of Kung Lao. Basically, yeah, Warner Bros. Has released a new trailer for the fighting game Mortal Kombat X that reveals a number of new playable characters. The story trailer shows Melina, who commands an outworld rebel army. The good guys, led by Cassie Cage, joins forces to take her down. MKX takes place 25 years of the events. I didn't realize this. Takes place 25 years of the events of Mortal Kombat, 2011's Mortal Kombat. New characters revealed in the trailer include Jacqueline Biggs, daughter of Jax, Takeshi Takedo, son of Kenshi, and Kung Jin, descendant of Kung Lao. We also spot Rain and Sindel, although we're not sure they're playable. Here's a list of the confirmed playable characters. Okay, we've got Cassie Cage, Devora, Ermac, Ferret, Tor, that's the giant guy with a little thingy on top of him, Goro, Kano, which would be cool, it's really old Kano, Katana, Kotakan, Kung Lao, Quan Chi, Raiden, Reptile, Scorpion, Sub-Zero, yay, Jacqueline Briggs, Takeshi Takeda, and Kung Jin. But yeah, I say, this is so awesome. I can't wait. I want some fucking Mortal Kombat. Meanwhile, during a stream, developer NetherRealm confirmed the return of Brutalities for Mortal Kombat X. Brutality is a finishing move first introduced in the home console version of Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3. Previously, this involved particularly complex input commands, as if they weren't fucking complex already. Trying to do the fatalities is a pain in the ass. For Mortal Kombat X, unless you know the bloody moves anyway, so it's simple. Mortal Kombat X, however, they work differently and are based off a special move you can combo into them. That's right, so basically you're basically like a five-hit combo, and then you basically just do something into a special move, and then you do a sort of brutality at the end and basically end the game. They work differently and are based on a special move where you can combo into them, although there are conditions that must be met during the round in order for them to be available to perform. It's a bit like how Babalities used to work. NetherRealm said they are over... Well, 100 brutalities in the game. That's awesome. Basically, there's a whole video for this. But yeah, say Mortal Kombat X comes out the 14th of April for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox One, Xbox 360, and PC. But yeah, there's an update to this as well. Okay, let's just sort of read this. Oh no, it's just basically about a video, another video of it. But yeah, I say I can't wait for Mortal Kombat. I need some Mortal Kombat. This, I mean, 2011, I didn't realise it was that long ago. And the game's still fresh in my mind about what I was playing and how awesome it was. Yeah, I'm going to take a break now because I need a rest. But I'll be back in about 15 minutes after these messages.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcasts. Oh boy!
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time,
dude. I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude. Like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night, but he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not use this into a promo? I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Yeah, AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
The Elvis and Alfred Show, Thursdays, MoreLikeRadio.com, 5 to 7. I'm Elvis Cage.
I'm Alfred.
I'm Jameson, and on the phone...
It's Bill. I'm phoning it in.
Oh, he's phoning it in. Coming to you live from the Halfpenny Pub in Sayville.
That's right. Punk rock music.
Independent music.
And all the rest of the things that we speak about.
Crazy party stuff.
Yeah. Here on MoreLikeRadio.com.
And ElvisandAlfred.com, 24-7.
Yarr!
The Elvis and Alfred Show.
Now deep beat, cause the V is so deep. An interesting show, it won't ever put you to sleep. It has all the content that you want, the best show on the planet. I ain't even gonna front. Deep beat, bringing it again and again. Don't ever miss a show and make sure that you're always tuned in. Hosted by my man Mike and Ski Ray. Keep it turned up on the mic all day. Ask me what's my favorite podcast, I say Deep Beat. Listen to the show while you're sipping on your tea. It's the hottest of the hot. You ain't gotta trust me. Tune into the show and you will definitely see. With Mike and Ski Ray, you can't go wrong. The biggest show ever, bigger than a King Kong. Listen up and don't ever, ever miss a beat. It's Deep V. Remember that the V is so deep.
What's up, everybody? Deep V Podcast.
Deep V.
Be sure to listen to us Fridays at 8 Eastern on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Yep.
Also download us on iTunes.
Just type in Deep V.
Deep V, your favorite podcast. Favorite podcast.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
You know, the way the start of the last episode, we went through different nationalities, you know, and now people know that we're Irish.
And now people know that we're all shite at accents as well.
But I was wondering, is it prejudice to not make fun of, like, all of the countries?
Where are you going for?
We'll name check every country on the show. That way no one can be mad about that.
I could do in Swedish.
Oh, yeah. What?
Birdie, birdie.
And to the Italians.
Papa da poopy.
Papa da poopy. Okay.
To the Mexicans.
Hey, man.
Spain. Singapore.
Oh. Amazing.
Australia.
Crocodile Dundalk. No. A big loop, are you?
No, that sounds like terrible. Limerick or something.
That's right, we never slag off the Irish, do we? Someone put a bomb in me potato. There you go. OSW review. All Irish, all racist.
More like radio, less like crap.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in. This is Mitch, producer of Dutch and Royce. I just wanted to take a quick moment to remind you why we are better than you.
I took the turkey baster and put it in the glass and sucked up as much pee as I could. I took the turkey baster, after lubricating it in my asshole, and put it up as far as I could in my asshole, and I was repeatedly thrusting it in and out while jacking off and screaming out a boy's name and moaning to make it feel like it was real.
I can't believe.
I then imagined
John, did you write this?
I then imagined in my head him screaming, "I'm coming!" And I squeezed the turkey baster ball, shooting all my pee into my ass. I kept taking the turkey baster out and filling it with more pee and shooting it deep into my asshole, making it feel like it was a huge come.
Listen to Dutch and Royce live Tuesdays from 10 to midnight, only on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I just keep thinking to myself, and it makes me giggle, that every time I hear the story, I imagine it was Ray Romano in the same situation.
Oh.
Oh, man. Oh,
kind of does.
I barely touched her. Come on. Oh. Oh, it was my brother. Look at him. He's bigger than me. Come on. Oh, come on, everybody loves me. I got twins. Come on. Oh, let's go Home Depot. Come on.
Fess up, Raymond. You know it was you that got you on video.
Anybody want soup?
Ma, come on. We're talking over here.
Oh, man. I'm dying. So if you learn anything from Hippo Juice, remember, Ray Romano allegedly punched his wife in an elevator.
Right.
We don't report the news accurately. We report half of it. Whatever. It's still news, so fuck you guys. This is more entertaining than some football player.
Listen to the Hippo Juice show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest ear off?
Colorado Dickhead said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric? What do they have a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down there?
It was Monsignor Hendrix who did it. I just made that up. Thanks, Colorado Dickhead.
Father Clapton. Those ape shit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes ape shit in church, and that is a big news.
Ra-
Rabbi Little Richards.
No one will go with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
Conti and Kenny Show, Monday nights, 7 to 10, on morelikeradio.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the drunk say?
I'm on your... fuck. Oof. Ah!
What the drunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises.
Blah, 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 blah.
I can't understand what the...
What does the drunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place, okay. Oh, let me, excuse me,
What the drunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the drunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
High Society Radio is now part of morelikeradio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Oh, who are you joining there?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind More Right. Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
A family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Yeah, we can't sell Betsy's milk to no one. Absolutely no one.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You can't sell that milk.
Why is that? Like, I can not tell.
I got pink. It's all hair, yo, I got pink.
I'm
gonna smell it.
Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread.
You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
The Orange Room, 9 to 11, Saturday nights on More Like Radio.
Sexy betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for lust, betrayal, and murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah. Three of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn? No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're gonna go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not gonna go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot! Stan... You're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
She's buried right in my backyard. That's right, folks.
Welcome back to part two of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. As I've been playing tons of Final Fantasy 14. I got this from IGN. It's the PAX East 2015 Five Reasons to Explore Final Fantasy 14's Heavensward expansion. While the Realm Reborn's narrative is on track to end this month, the current storyline's finale is intended to push players towards Heavensward. Fresh content with a theme song composed by Nobu Uematsu. Square Enix will tell the tale of the Dragon Song War, a bloody conflict that spans 1,000 years between two islands, Ishgard and Gervania. We get to check out some of the new expansion. We got to check out some of the new expansion, and we'll bring to the table. One second, let me scroll down. And we like what we saw. Heavensward introduces a new sprawling, expansive zones. Players will finally get to explore Gervania, a landmass marked by gargantuan crystal mountain. A massive forest showcasing trees with multiple trunks decorate the mountain's base, and which offer a unique twist on traditional woodland zones. Even though I like Gdania, that's a pretty sweet place. It's sort of very like Endor, to be honest. In addition to Gdania, Heavensward also lets players explore Foundation, the Pillars, Kortha's Western Highlands, and floating landmasses like the Churning Mists and the Sea of Clouds. Players will finally be able to travel to those areas in style with their brand new flying mounts, flying chocobos, dragons, and even share ships. Even airships will get you where you need to go three times faster than the Final Fantasy XIV's current mounts, which are pretty awesome anyway. So I'm guessing we'll hope, because there's a lot of pay-to content. At the Mog Station you can buy retainers and little mounts and minions and stuff like for real money. So hopefully they'll get some better stuff in there to pick up for this time round, maybe. We'll wait and see. But there's a beautiful new race. Square Enix added to the list of races players can choose from by introducing the Aura. A quick glance will likely remind Final Fantasy XIV veterans of the Makote, but don't be fooled. The Aura skin is scaly and drag-like, and intimidating horns emerge from the sides of their heads. Players that are more savvy can pat themselves on the back. A cloaked NPC from A Realm Reborn has been rumoured to be Heavensward's new race for quite some time, and it is indeed true. Yeah, I listen to Limerick Radio, and they talk about this all the time. Exciting new jobs. Heavensward will give players three new options when choosing what job to learn. The Dark Knight is a new tanking class that wields a giant greatsword. Yay. Pain in the ass is a tank, though. I mean, I was listening to Limerick Radio, and they were saying what we'd like to see maybe is a samurai as a sort of DPS. I thought that'd be pretty sweet, walking around in samurai armor as a sword. That was what I wanted to be with my my paladin. It's like, yeah, I wanted to be someone who wields a sword and a shield, but do damage, but not, you know, not be a tank, to be honest. But and it did work out, so now I'm a black mage. Dark Knights also have great access, have access to dark magic and aura to maintain enmity. For those who prefer to provide, I was going to say with the Dark Knight, I mean, you think we like the magic, so I'm guessing maybe you need to have like your therm, because with each class, and just, you know, informing all the listeners, each class and job you take, you need to have like one main job to 30, and then another side job of a specified thing. So I mean, like, because I'm a black mage, I had to have my thermitage, which was the 30, and then my archer at 15. I'm guessing maybe like thermitage at like 15, and then warrior. Gladiator. Is it gladiator? Yeah, one of those. I think gladiator, marauder, probably marauder, probably like 30 or something to access the Dark Knight, which would be, you know, pretty cool. But for those who would prefer to support their party, the Astrologian is the expansion's new medic class. The Astrologian Star Globe can tap into the power of the stars to access the Divining Deck, which will buff players, buff party members, debuff enemies, and more. So basically, it's the new Red Mage. Finally, the DPS class is represented with the brand new Machinist. Specializing in ranged combat, the Machinist carries a firearm that can be configured to the player's liking with different attachments and also gun properties. Scopes, spread barrels, larger magazines are just a few of the add-ons that you can customize for the Machinist. Customize your machine. It's Arsenal. As an added bonus, the machines can place turrets on the battlefield to support party members or deal damage over time to foes. I'm really looking forward to the machinist because I like. I mean, I want a proper gun character because I think that would be awesome to add to the game. Like, you know, like sort of Irvine in Final Fantasy VIII or Barrett in Final Fantasy VII. I don't think there was any sort of gun usage in 9 and 10. There was nobody in 10. Just just Waka who used a beach ball. That was it. What's old is new again. Final Fantasy's first expansion doesn't forget about veteran players. If you're not interested in ditching a character you've leveled to cap, Square Enix is adding a plethora of new gear, weapons, and items to what's available inside. Expect to start hunting for powerful new loot for every single job that's currently in the game. Heavensward hasn't forgotten about the current crafting professions either, and new gear is coming for culinarians, miners, botanists, fishermen, and more, which I'm looking forward to. I mean, I've heard about this expansion. It's like going to be like a whole brand new game, sort of, but we'll wait and see. I just totally skipped a bit by accident there. Intelligent raiding. Alexander is the new raids. Raiders played. Hang on, I messed that up completely. Alexander is the new raid players will be working towards. Similar to the Calls of Bahamut, Alexander will offer two modes of play, normal and hard mode. Normal mode was designed to have easy mechanics, making the raid more friendly for those looking to experience it as part of the Heavensward storyline. If you're looking for something a bit more of a challenging side, hard mode has you covered. Square Enix has intentionally created this difficulty to be more trying than the Calls of Bahamut. Alexander is gigantic, and its architecture structure suggests he isn't fully excavated or revealed. To complete the raid, you must go inside and fight the primal Alexander, with each body part possibly being a different section of the raid. That sounds so complicated and fun. I mean, actually, I'm nowhere near half that shit anyway, because I'm sort of, you know, just doing bits and pieces I am through the game and making my way through the world. But, you know, this is going to be so much fun. But I say, they talk about the price line. It was saying, I think it was like over 40,000 yen or 14,000 yen. Which I think basically works up to £80, what this expansion might cost. But it'll be worth it, I guess. I mean, I'm not in a hurry to buy it because I'm still basically doing low-level stuff. You know, where I am in the story, trying to do bits and pieces. Like, I want to sort of finish off where I am at the moment to be able to get further. But, I mean, this isn't coming out for, like, months anyway. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I really am. But it's a long way off for me personally. But I say, Final Fantasy 14, people should play it, it's fun. You know, it's really good. I'm enjoying it tons. Let's find something else to talk about. Here we go, yeah. The people behind Alien Isolation, the devs here, this is from Eurogamer, hiring for another multi-platform AAA blockbuster. Creative Assembly's console team, the one behind last year's I've heard mixed. Well-received Alien Isolation is hiring for a new game. Italian websites ZGOCI spotted a few new jobs posted on the Creative Assembly website that relate to the console team. One calls for an online multiplayer programmer, and here's what it says. This is, we are creating another multi-platform AAA blockbuster, and the successful applicant will be part of a team which allows our game experience to be shared. Experience of development on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 and PC is desirable. There is a raft of open positions on the Creative Assembly's console team. The question is, has Creative Assembly been given the green light to work on a sequel to Alien Isolation, a different type of alien game perhaps, or is it working on something else? I'm going to say something else, because, I mean, some people liked Alien Isolation, a lot of people didn't. I mean, reviews of it weren't that good, but good word of mouth from people playing it. I mean, I was listening to a couple of people on the train actually yesterday, talking about Alien Isolation and, you know, how well the graphics were and, you know, basically the same stuff everyone else said. Like, the graphics are good, but the story, the aliens are a bit shit, basically. But we'll wait and see. Sega and Creative Assembly have a policy of not commenting on the development of unannounced projects within its portfolio, a spokesperson told Eurogamer. If Creative Assembly is working on a sequel to Alien Isolation, the mention of a team that allows our game experience to be shared could indicate plans for multiplayer of some kind, maybe co-op. In January 2015, Creative Assembly revealed Alien Isolation has sold 1 million copies. The news came a little over 3 months after the game's 7th October launch of last year. That's not still not bad, but still not good either. Elsewhere, it's busy for Creative Assembly, which is working on a Warhammer-themed Total War game, Total War Arena and Total War Battles Kingdom. So it could be anything, to be honest. I think it's going to be on something else because, I mean, none of these Alien games have actually been that good. It's weird. I mean, I like Aliens. I like the movies. And just, I don't know, the games don't seem to capture what it was. I mean, Alien Isolation did a good job from what I've been hearing, but it's just, I don't know, it's not. It's just not enough, basically. Here we go, something different. Kinect and HoloLens developer Kudo Sonoda expands role at Microsoft. Microsoft Corporate Vice President Kudo Sonoda, let me scroll down, Creative Director on Kinect and the HoloLens, expanding his role at the Xbox manufacturer. Kudo will lead the vision and experience lead the vision and experience development of our other Microsoft Studios portfolio investments in the United States, Europe, and across the global publishing team. Microsoft just announced Kudo has been driving the creative direction, creative direction and experience development for Microsoft HoloLens, and will bring a fresh, innovative, and gaming centric approach to the development of our expanding and diverse game portfolio across Xbox and Windows 10 devices, including HoloLens. Kudo further clarified in the following video that he will be sending a bunch of new Xbox teams, including Rare, Lionhead, Lift at London, Press Play, Twisted Pixel, and Decisive Games. He'll be working on such titles as Quantum Break, Scalebound, Crackdown, and some new franchises. When asked if he'd be replacing Microsoft's other corporate vice president, Phil Harrison, who's reported to be leaving, I'll read that article next, we received the following statement from a Microsoft spokesperson. With the exception of Halo, Gears of War, Forza, and Minecraft, Kudo will lead the vision and experience development of our... basically, it's just the same shit I've already read. This is it, but since marketing continue to lead... CVP of marketing for Xbox will continue to lead manufacturing marketing for globally. It's just some bullshit. Just doesn't make sense. So it's literally this. All these assholes have got so many fucking titles, and it's all these made up offices and all this bullshit. It's just like, you know, okay, CVME, B&Q, ICI, all that sort of just. Directorship and all this sort of bullshit. Just add more zeros to their fucking paychecks. Microsoft is making other staff shifts as well. For example, GM of Black Tusk Studios, Hannon Lemke, will now be GM of UK Studios and Press Play from Max of the Cursed Brotherhood. Why don't they combine all these fucking studios into one thing? There's so many different studios and they're all under the bloody arm of Microsoft. Just, you know, I don't know. Max and the Cursed Brotherhood, Kalimba, elsewhere studio head of Lionhead, John Needham, is moving to Redmond to work on HoloLens and some new IPs. Meanwhile, Microsoft confirmed that Halo, Gears of War, Forza, Microsoft franchise will continue to report to the head of Xbox, Phil Spencer. That's pretty much all of that one, because literally I'm tired of reading various VPs and BB. I can't stand all these different titles and CEO bullshit. Where's that thing about Phil Spencer? Phil Harrison. There we go. Phil Harrison is leaving Microsoft, supposedly. This came out about a few days ago, so basically it's a very short article. Phil Harrison is leaving Microsoft after 3 years at the company. A report from Eurogamer's sister site, GamesIndustry.biz, has revealed that the report has gathered from multiple sources at this week's GDC that the corporate vice president who joined Microsoft in 2012 after a tenure at Gaikai, Atari, and most famously Sony, is on his way out. It was at Sony where Harrison made his name, helping establish the PlayStation brand in his 16 years at the company. Harrison joined Microsoft when the Xbox business was headed up by Don Matrick, who basically is fucked off and everyone's glad. And since Matrick's departure has been less of a public presence for the brand, in Matrick's absence, Phil Spencer was promoted to the head of Xbox, and GamesIndustry.biz reports just Harrison was frustrated at not being offered a promotion himself. You're earning shit tons of money, dumbass. What the fuck are you... You just signed the paperwork. Get on with it. Eurogamer asked Phil Spencer earlier today whether he had any attention... he had anything to add to the story, though he was unable to offer any comments, so basically he's not saying a word. The news comes in the wake of a merger of Lift London and Microsoft Studio Harrison was instrumental in founding with Soho Productions. I think Soho Productions is the one who did The Getaway, I think. But yeah, so that's sad he's leaving, but I'd like to know what he's going to do afterwards. He was at Sony, then he's at Microsoft. What, is he going to go to Nintendo? I can say that, but he probably fucking might, all right, here we go. Yeah, this is about Hyrule Warriors. This is from IGN. Yeah, according to Koei Tecmo, producer Sakiro Tsukugi, the Wii U exclusive Hyrule Warriors played an important role in helping refresh the Dynasty Warriors franchise and bring new fans to the fold. Speaking with MCV, Suzuki explained that the sales for Dynasty Warriors franchise have been on a steady decline over the last few years. It's because you make the same game year after year, that's why. According to him, the nature of Dynasty Warriors is very niche, but built for only its core audience. This may make like 8, 9, 10 different, 10 of the same games, but with just random tweaks. It's like fucking Madden and FIFA. It's the same shit every year after year. This may be well appease its fans, but it also means that the possibility that new players will be brought as a result. The Dynasty Warriors series is targeted towards its core fans, but we've had a few collaborations recently that have gotten the franchise a second wind because they've brought new fans that hadn't given Dynasty Warriors a chance. They headed like samurais and stuff, and they did the Gundam stuff. One of these collaborations was Hyrule Warriors, a Zelda game based heavily on the core mechanics of Dynasty Warriors. Suzuki explained that the Nintendo crossover was a shot in the arm for the long-running Dynasty Warriors franchise. So Hyrule Warriors gave the Dynasty Warriors some freshness. Now our task is to keep the new players happy now that they've had a chance to play. But overall, with the franchise, we need to keep it fresh, both Dynasty Warriors and the Samurai Warrior brands. The most recent spin-off on Koei Tecmo was the Dynasty Warriors 8 Empires, which was released on PlayStation Network in February. I tempted to... I think it might be one of the ones I do pick up when I do get my Wii U, but not that fussed at the moment about picking one up. But I'll get one eventually, just, when money's a bit better. Where is that one about? Something I saw, which is quite sad, actually, to be honest. Here we go, yeah. My thing's right over it. It's from Eurogamer. EA shuts down Sport and SimCity developer Maxis, which is, a bit of a bastard, to be honest. EA has closed Maxis Emeryville, the studio behind Sport and the recent SimCity game. BeyondSims.com reported closure after designer. Jesus Christ, I hate these French names. Jesus, Guillaume Pierre tweeted this. Tweeted news this evening. Says, "Well, it was a fun 12 years, but it's time to turn off the lights and put the keys under the door." In a statement to Kotaku, EA said it was consolidating Maxis IP development to other studios. It insisted work on The Sims, which is developed by Redmond Shores, would continue, and that affected employees would be given opportunities to explore other positions within EA. So basically, they're moving around. But they got a statement, which I will read. Today, we are consolidating Maxis IP development to our studios in Redmond Shores, Salt Lake City, Helsinki, and Melbourne locations as we close our Emeryville location. Maxis continues to support and develop new experiences for current Sims and SimCity players. while expanding on franchises to new platforms and developing new cross-platform IP. These changes do not impact our plans for The Sims. Players will continue to see rich new environments in The Sims 4, with our first expansion pack coming soon, along with a full slate of additional updates and content in the pipeline. All employees impacted by the changes today will be given opportunity to explore other positions within the Maxis Studios and throughout EA. For those that are leaving the company, we are working to ensure that the best possible transition with separation packages and career assistance. Maxis Emeryville Studio was behind 2008's Spore and the always online SimCity, which suffered a disastrous launch upon its March 2013 release. So bad that with the situation that EA offered SimCity owners a free game as an apology. Maxis later added an offline mode, among other requested features. It seems staff are currently in consolidation with EA about other jobs within the company. It's a bad thing, it really is. But so okay, why shut down Maxis? SimCity sold 1.1 million units in the first 2 weeks on sale, making it the biggest SimCity launch of all time, according to EA. SimCity is one of the storied brands in gaming, and Maxis delivered a game re-envisioned and engineered for the online age, EA said at the time. And then in July 2013, EA Labels president Frank Gibeau and SimCity had sold more than 2 million units. He called it a success. Maxis was co-founded in 1987 by legendary game developer Will Wright and went on to huge success with Sim series of games. EA bought the company in 1997 and published The Sims in 2000. It is later used the Maxis name to create a development brand that incorporates a number of studios, with The Sim Studios at Redmond Shores responsible for The Sims game. Yeah, so basically, it's sad, because I mean, I've loved The Sims, and I like SimCity. I never really got too far in depth with it. But yeah, it was a really decent game to play. But it's sad that the studio's closing down, but I say, it says they're helping out other people, so, you know, people will move on, they'll find new studios, as they usually do. But it's a bit sad, to be honest, but, you know, people move on, they stop. Let's find something else. Here we go, yeah. Something else that's sort of people moving on. Dragon Age loses lead writer to do BioWare game. Not really moving on as such, but staying within the company, it seems. Dragon Age lead writer David Gaider has moved on to a new upcoming BioWare project. And left Dragon Age behind him. A decade ago, he led the creation of the Dragon Age, of the world of Dragon Age, as is set in. Is set in Thedas. He has been at the forefront of writing all three Dragon Age games since penning novels and comics based in the fiction in between. Based on the fiction in between. I wish they'd use typos on this shit. So, a bit of news. I've decided to leave the company. Decided to leave Dragon Age and move on to a new upcoming BioWare project, which I can't discuss, he announced on Twitter. While it's hard to leave Dragon Age behind, 10 years is a long time to work on any one project, I decided it was time for something new. I'm happy, however, to leave Dragon Age in good hands with Patrick Weeks, will be the lead writer once I'm gone. I can't think of anyone better. What is the new upcoming BioWare project he's working on? Last year at E3, BioWare announced a new an all-new contemporary IP in development at the studio Gaider works at in Edmonton, Canada. The game is a clean sheet design, a new fictional world that feels real. So basically, it's like new, and it sounds fun or enjoyable. It will be, we'll find out. I mean, to be honest, it's BioWare. I mean, they can do no wrong. I mean, even though I played Dragon Age, I didn't really like it. Still a fun game, but you know, we'll wait and see what they get with this. But there's a strong chance that the game Gaider mentions and the game BioWare mentioned last summer are one and the same thing. Yeah, I'd say a pretty good choice, to be honest. Consider what we know, they're doing Mass Effect 4 and bits and pieces of Dragon Age. But yeah, BioWare's short-lived new IP, Shadowrealms, was recently canned. It's not yet whether Clear Gaydar will lead the writing team on the new game or join under someone else's command. We'll wait and see, to be honest. I'm interested. I mean, BioWare, there's always something good coming out of them. The studios make really good games, so yeah, we'll wait and see. Let's look for more stuff. EA to reward Battlefield veterans who buy Battlefield Hardline. I mean, it's only coming out in a couple of weeks anyway, so... EA will reward those who play who played any of the last few Battlefield games and buy upcoming Cops and Robbers spin-off Battlefield Hardline. The Veterans Pack is exclusive to owners of Battlefield Bat Company 2, Battlefield 3, and or Battlefield 4, who also buy Battlefield Hardline. It includes one in-game veterans patch, one 200% objective bonus active for 30 minutes once activated, and one 200% team play boost, which activates for 30 minutes once activated. Not a game-changing pack, but it's a nice touch. If you own any of the three games or any platforms and have an Origin account, the Veterans Pack will be available automatically the first time you log into Battlefield Hardline, but you can also get it if you've registered any of the three games after Battlefield Hardline. 7 million played the recent Battlefield Hardline beta, and the game launches on the 17th of October, so basically pretty much a week from now. And I'm looking forward to it. I do want to get it. I really do. And I like the whole Cops and Robbers mentality, and the beta was fun. I mean, I'm shit at the multiplayer, but I only played like one round, so I've got practice to get in, and I need some sort of modern world first-person shooter to play, nothing futuristic-y, because, you know, I've done that shit before. Oh, where was I going? Let's have a look. Oh, here we go, yes. Probably good for people who enjoyed the game series, but I never did, because I've got no rhythm. Rock Band 4 announced for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Rock Band 4 has been officially announced by series developer Harmonix. It's coming to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One later in 2015, so I'm guessing around Christmas time. It will support old peripherals, though Mad Catz is creating new ones as well. So yay, more plastic shit that will fill up your stores. Yay. Better yet, it will allow players to import all their current content from previous games on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 into the long-awaited series. Long-awaited series resurgence. Harmonix said Rock Band 4 will support over 2,000 tracks released since the 2007 launch of the original game. The previous Rock Band game, Rock Band 3, launched 5 years ago in 2010. So, as much as I'm not looking forward to Rock Band, it's been 5 years, so that's a good chunk to leave it. We caught up with the game's project manager, Daniel Sussman, at GDC for further details on why Harmonix thinks now is the time to rejuvenate Rock Band and what's changing in this latest iteration. He says, after taking some time off, it was really interesting to kind of come back and play the games that we bled and sweat over for years and years and years. Two things emerged very quickly. One was, holy motherfucker, these games are fun, Sussman explained. At the same time, we were able to be quite critical of the work that we had done and saw that lots of room for improvement. And that was really important to us as well, because we are all creative people and it's important for us to be able to sink our teeth into something that was developed deserving of the four at the end of the title. We didn't want to just rehash Rock Band 3 for new consoles, which, to be honest, I'm saying you're rehashing Rock Band 3 for new consoles. But he says, we felt like it was really important for us to evolve the gameplay in a way that would be interesting. But you're still pressing coloured buttons. So what's changing? While Harmonix has yet to spill the beans on the exact new mechanics to this stored franchise, Sussman hinted at some new areas he found lacking in the series previous efforts that Harmonix is addressing this time out. One of those is that the developer really wants to encourage a greater sense of collaboration between players, so more group stuff, I guess. One of the most magical elements of being in a band is knowing that your drummer is listening to you and caring about what you're doing. He explained, it's not just about playing your part with the blinders on. It's really about a social vibe in the room where players are aware and of and interested in what other people are doing. I think it's a thing that's kind of implied by Rock Band to play, but not explicitly supported by the game. When I watch people play Rock Band What I see is four people sort of playing a single player game in the same room. The relationship between the drummer and the bassist is not as connected as I think it should be. So there's an area where I think there's a lot of room for improvement from a game design standpoint. Okay, I guess that makes no sense to me. I mean, it's literally you're pressing buttons or hitting stuff. I mean, you've all got to work at the same time to get the best score you can get. I've never played a sort of thing, but I'm guessing this is what you do. But yeah, I don't get it, really. I mean, okay, I'll carry on reading. Another place where Sussman found previous Rock Band games missed the beat was in player agency over the song. In prior games, the player was merely following orders dictated by the on-screen prompts, which is basically how you play it. While it's not clear the exact form this will take, Sussman hinted that there'll be ways that players can put their own unique spin on a song. Yeah, I'm interested in seeing how that works. The other area that I really think is ripe for innovation is the realm of player expression and the idea that music really is a performance art form and the output is a reflection of the input. If you're trying to play them the same way every single time, there's always subtle differences. That's a thing that, as a musician, I can get a big kick out of, something sort of doing some a little thing to make this song my own. I think that's an area where Rock bands can be improved, looking at ways to give players a little more sense of ownership over the content. I don't get that. I don't get you're pushing coloured buttons to an on-screen prompt. That's the whole point of the fucking game. If you make it your own, you might as well just get a real guitar and make your own songs. Unless they're going to do some sort of form of making your own songs, but how do you make your own songs with coloured buttons? I don't know. Yes, it's, what I find is that it's... I can't read this thing. What I found is that if you can figure out a way to give players a sense of ownership over the content, it improves the experience. It's a really powerful thing. This sounds an awful lot like the Territory Harmonix explained in the Fantasia game last year, when I asked if Rock Band 4 will borrow ideas, if not mechanics wholesale for this previous effort. Sussman remained cagey on the details, but admitted that the non-Rock Band projects were hugely influential in helping the studio arrive at where it is for Rock Band 4. I think it's been, carrying on the quote, I think it's been healthy for the studio to get away from Rock Band for a little bit and get over its dirty, get our hands dirty with a couple of really challenging creative problems to solve, he said. Fantasia certainly helped, had its fair share of those, and I'm really proud of the work that we did to really tip the rug out from the people, from what people can expect from a music game. And to give control out to players, I think it's a phenomenon. It's taught us a lot about how to do that well. I've got to look some stuff up on this Fantasia game, because I've never really heard of it, to be honest, but I don't know. There you go. They seem to be happy with what they're doing, I guess. But to be honest, I'll stop reading this article because it just goes on and on and on. But it's like, it does make wonder, are we going to get Guitar Hero come back? Is DJ Hero going to come back with a sequel? Are we going to get, Rap Hero? Is this just another opening point for more of these music rhythm games that annoy the shit out of me? Maybe, we'll wait and see. I thought we'd done with this with the last generation. Yeah, it was all these fucking Rock Bands, Guitar Heroes, DJ Heroes, SingStar, all this sort of shit, but I don't know. But okay, I'll move on to something different. Blowing up Star Citizen's spaceships never looked so good. There's blown up spaceships and there's blown up Star Citizen's spaceships. Developer Cloud Imperium Games released a video showing off the Space Games new damage model, and it looks more detailed than we've ever seen. The video below is little more than technical showcase, but it shows how much effort has been... I haven't even watched the video yet. I need to watch the video after the show. Has gone into the simple act of shooting spaceships into smithereens. At one point, a cannon is used to draw letters. Wow, really? Oh, this is so cool. At one point, a cannon is used to draw letters of the damage caused to a ship's hull. That sounds so cool. The game tracks four damage values: temperature, burn, thickness, and deformation. CIG uses the uses these to make the hull glow with heat, make paint burn and bubble peel off to explode underlying metal. This game sounds so fun. And dent and deform the surface. You can even cut holes through the hull to explode external wiring and mechanics. CIG said it now models the internals under the vast majority of the hull, which sounds like a hell of a lot of work, but when you've got millions of dollars swelling CIG's coffers each month as players buy virtual spaceships, perhaps it's not as unrealistic to add. I've got to look up some of these videos on YouTube. And the developer won't stop there. It has said it has plans to add more effects under the skin of the ship as holes are revealed. Stuff like sparks or on damaged equipment, because why not? That sounds so much fun. Several lighting. I see that the millions have been put into this game and millions have been put into other games, and they can do so much more with it. Several lighting and particle setups are being prototyped to take your ship interiors through healthy, damaged, critical, and flatline states that will inform and immerse our players during battles. CIG wrote in a post to Robert Space Institute's website. Our new state machine being developed called GOST will determine the healthy or unhealthy flow of energy around the ship systems and will have a big impact on our multi-crew interactions and affect the ship damage on them. Given the complexity of our larger ships, there are really floating levels. Big questions remain about hull breaches and how to portray critical damage in the vacuum of space and how, especially with flame and stuff, and how this will affect players inside. And optimizations in all areas will allow us to add more and more player simulation that simultaneously to create massive multiplayer battles. We are pleased and excited to be releasing this first iteration with our newly optimized damage technology and hope the players feel the same. Parts of Star Citizen are already run up and running, though CIG boss Chris Roberts predicted a 2016 launch for the complete package. This game looks much awesome. I really want to have this game. I really do. This pretty much wraps up the show for this week. Thank you all for listening, as usual. Don't forget to say, we do have the MLI free in about 6 weeks. Don't forget Lakeland, Florida, 25th of April, 9 till 12. Get yourself down there. I'm there, so you've got no excuse. Don't forget to follow all the shows on station. Go to morelikeradio.com. Look it up. All the information is there. But if you want to email this, antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. You want to join the Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. facebook.com/antisocialgameradio is the Facebook page. And also you can follow us at MLRGamerRadio on Twitter and at More Like Radio on Twitter as well. It's been a good week for gaming. There's tons of stuff I want to get. I'm gonna sort of pick up those 3DS games to put in my to put on my 3DS, basically, as you would. But more Final Fantasy for me to play. Just tons of stuff to enjoy this week and tons of stuff to do. I'm looking forward to next week and talking about bits and pieces that I've been doing. And it's a really good time to play games at the moment because there's good stuff coming out. So Mortal Kombat's got me excited. Battlefield's got me excited. And, loads of stuff. But don't forget, coming up next, we have Alcohol by Volume with Kevin. And then you got My Time Now with Johnny Five. And then after that, you got Dutch and Royce finishing out the nights. And keep listening here to More Like Radio. And I will be back next week. Don't forget to say, because of the clocks and changing, I will be at 8 o'clock UK time, which will be at usual time of America at 4 p.m. Eastern. That's it for me this week. I will see you again next week. Take care, people. Goodbye.
think fucking Ashley brought anything to the table?
My God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or north or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.